God the Father and Jesus Christ have perfect, holy, and righteous character. The Bible reveals that God desires to reproduce that same perfect character in us. Understand God's ultimate purpose for placing man on the earth. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
God is a creator, but the most important thing he's trying to create and or succeeding in creating is holy, righteous, perfect character in other beings that are actually separate entities from God himself. Now that's something that even God can't do himself. Did you know that? God cannot just put perfect character in you. It wouldn't be character. Because character is the ability of a separate entity, a separate being of some kind, having his own mind, that he can have knowledge, he can think, he can make decisions. And it is the ability of one to come to the knowledge of what is right as opposed to what is wrong, to decide to do the right even though he wants to do what is wrong, and even though he has to resist himself, but to have the willpower to do the right whether he wants to or not, because he knows it's right, and then to do it. Now that is what God has, that kind of character. And we're put here to build that kind of character.
Herbert W. Armstrong, that's back in 1979, and as you heard him say there, we're here to build godly character, to actually live like God. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Key of David program. If you look through the scriptures, if you examine the scriptures in an honest and objective way, you see that there's definitely something we must do. It's not that we can earn salvation on our own merits or what we accomplish, but we certainly have to live the way of God. We have to follow the example of Jesus Christ. There's a verse, Revelation 3, verse 21. It says, "To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." That's Christ speaking. And he says to you and to me, we've got to overcome the way that he did. And you can look into that word for overcome in the Greek, and it means to conquer. I mean, we're in a battle. That's why, like in Ephesians 6, Paul talks about putting on the armor of God, the whole armor. We've got to be ready for war, for battle, for spiritual battle every single day. We have an adversary in the devil. And of course, we've got the pulls of the flesh that we're fighting against as well. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be you therefore followers of God as dear children." We have to follow the example that Jesus Christ set. And of course, we have this perfect example, God coming in the flesh and showing us the way. My father said in the God Family Vision booklet, "God and Jesus Christ are not just about words. Christ came to the earth and he lived God's way. He demonstrated how it works." I mean, just consider that and compare it to what so many other preachers say, that, well, Jesus came to just do everything for you, and so you don't have to do anything. No, in fact, I mean, Jesus did die for us, but he lived a perfect life to show us the way that we ought to go, to give us an example that we might follow in his steps. That's very scriptural. Notice 1 Peter 2. Get your Bible and read along. Prove it for yourself. See what God's word has to say about the life of a true Christian. This is from an old Plain Truth article, 1963. It says, "Christ came in the flesh to set us a perfect example, then to die in payment for our sins and make it possible for us to be reconciled to a holy, righteous God and receive of his Spirit, his very life and character implanted within us, as you heard there in that clip. I mean, this is God's supreme purpose. He's reproducing his divine character, his holy, righteous character. This is what it means to be made in the likeness and the image of God, as it says in Genesis 1 and verse 26. But notice here in 1 Peter 2, verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." We're to live like Christ. That's what a true Christian is. It's not someone who just says, "I'm a Christian," or who says, "I'm religious," or who wears a necklace that has a cross or whatever it is to designate them as Christians, or maybe a household where there's a picture or an image that shows that household is Christian. A Christian is one who follows in the steps of Christ. Ephesians 4, you can look at this later, verses 13 to 15. It talks about growing up spiritually in all things into Christ, or even Christ. I'll give you quite a few scriptures here at the start, and I encourage you to look them up to prove all things, like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, to see for yourself what the Bible says. It says in Romans 8:29 that we're here to be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. To be conformed, 1 John 2 and verse 6, "He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked," following those steps of Christ. 1 John 3 and verse 16, it says, "He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren," for our family, for God's family. Jesus did it, so we follow in his steps. We follow his example. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Follow me as I follow Christ." I've been talking about this a fair bit on our other program, The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. You can see that, if you'd like to, at the website, our website, thetrumpet.com. But what are Jesus Christ's teachings? What are we to do as true Christians? And what kind of an example are we following? Well, it's a perfect example. Matthew 5 and verse 48 says, "Become you," it means become, "become you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Be perfect like the Father. Be perfect like God. Now, some would say, well, that's impossible. But that's not what your Bible says. God actually gives his power, the Holy Spirit of God, to someone who's repented and turned to God in repentance and faith, and someone who's been baptized. And then God gives the Spirit, his power from on high, so that you can grow and overcome and conquer, like I read to you at the start. Revelation 3:21 in John 13. This is at that final Passover. Jesus Christ with his disciples, he started to wash their feet, and Peter protested and said, "You're not going to wash my feet." And Christ said, if I don't do this, you have no part with me. So Peter changed his mind, his attitude, and Christ began to wash his feet. And then in that same passage, he says, "Now, follow the example that I've set for you here. Make sure that you're in a foot-washing attitude continually. And if you do, if you follow this example, you'll be happy." If we follow in the example of Jesus Christ, it brings happiness and joy into our lives. And that's what we want. I want to read to you a definition of God's character in this book, The Incredible Human Potential. This is the book we want to spotlight today. If you don't have a copy of this in your library, make sure that you call our operators today and request this wonderful book by Herbert W. Armstrong, The Incredible Human Potential. And while you're at it, you can subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine, get tomorrow's news today, understand your world, under the light of Bible prophecy. There's no cost, no obligation. Everything we offer on this program is free of charge. This is the incredible human potential. It says, perfect, holy, and righteous character is the ability in such separate entity to come to discern the true and the right way from the false, to make voluntarily a full and unconditional surrender to God and His perfect way, to yield to and be conquered by God, to determine even against temptation and self-desire to live and to do the right. And it says, and even then, such holy character is a gift of God. It comes by yielding to God to instill His law, His way of life within the entity who so decides and wills. God's reproducing Himself. It's true. Genesis 1:26 is true. On the program today, I just want to talk about this awesome purpose and plan, God reproducing His own character and nature in us. I mean, this is God's ultimate purpose. And if we just break down that definition that you find right here in the incredible human potential, the definition of godly character, you see that it says we have to discern the difference between right and wrong. And then we have to surrender to God, to surrender to the right way, and then do that right way. You can break it down into those three action steps: discern, surrender, and do. The first one, we'll look at 2 Timothy 2. This first step, discerning between good and evil, between true and false, between what's right, what's wrong. Most people never even get out of the starting blocks because they're not willing to look into the Bible and to see what God decides or has decided that's right and that's wrong. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, it says here, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. You see, it's God. I mean, this is a command. God doesn't say it's an option. He says, dig into the Word of God. Study God's truth so that you can understand and know the right way. And of course, there's a spiritual dimension to this. A lot of people study the Bible and they disagree over what some other preacher might say. There's a lot of different interpretations, but the Bible doesn't need some man's interpretation. It interprets itself. And with God's help and guidance, you can understand and know the truth of the Bible. You can look at Matthew 11 and verse 25 later and see how that if we have a childlike attitude, then God can begin to teach us. But we've got to have a Berean mindset. Acts 17 verses 10 and 11 talks about how that they searched the scriptures daily to prove the truth, to make sure that what Paul was preaching was the truth of God, to have that sort of positive orientation. I love digging into the Bible. I want to know what God's perspective is. I want to know the truth of God. It takes discernment. Discern the difference between right and wrong. And then once you come to an understanding of the truth, and again, this can be an agonizing process. Herbert Armstrong told us in Mystery of the Ages and his autobiography just how gut-wrenching it was to realize that so many of the things that he understood or had grown up believing were wrong. He wasn't super religious as a young man, but he kind of went along and believed what most people believe. And then when he finally was immersed into the Bible, a six-month night and day study, he saw that so many of the beliefs that people just assumed to be true were actually false. It was humbling. It was an agonizing ordeal. And he saw that, well, if this is the truth of the Bible, if this is God's truth, then I have to submit to it. He had to surrender. And that's the second step in this process. of building godly character, as it says in The Incredible Human Potential, to make voluntarily a full and unconditional surrender to God and His perfect way, to yield to and to be conquered by God. Listen to Mr. Armstrong. This is from a sermon he gave back in 1982, clip two.
I don't believe anyone receives the Holy Spirit until the human spirit has been conquered by God and His Spirit. I often think of a spirited young colt. You try to get on him and he'll try to throw you. You can't do a thing with him. You've got to break him. He's got to be conquered. And then you do have a still spirited horse, but he becomes of great value, but he has to be broken. You know, God has to break our wills and break us, and we have to be brought to the place of surrender to Him. How many of you have gone through such an experience? Or have you, just in your own goodness, seen the truth? Yeah, well, that's true. I'm going to accept it. I'm so good that I just want to accept that I'm going to be a Christian from here on. I wonder if you have really received the Spirit of God.
Wow, that's quite a statement. I mean, but how important is this? You see so much in this world today, people talking about religion, talking about Christ, but it's so shallow. There's no substance to it. What he's talking about there is substance. You have to be conquered by God. I mean, if Christ is our Lord and Master, then He has final say. We can't humanly reason our way around things. We can't just say, well, I like the sound of this law, but, you know, I'll adjust it or change it and make it to where it suits me better. God has final say. Romans 7, notice this, verse 19 and 20, it says, for the good that I... This is Paul writing about the war of the wills. Jesus Christ experienced that at Gethsemane the night before he was crucified when he prayed for this cup to pass, but then concluded by saying, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Humanly, I mean, he didn't want to go through with the crucifixion, but he submitted to God's will, and we're to follow in that example, to follow those steps. Paul did. Notice what he says. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. You can look at Galatians 2 and verse 20 on your own time, where it says, you know, Paul again writes and says, I'm crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So his life was no longer his own. I mean, it was Christ in Paul. That's why Paul's ministry was so spectacular and dynamic and alive and active and fruitful, because Christ was living in him. The old Paul had died, and yet, as Romans 7 brings out, I mean, it's a continuous battle to put away that old man or to keep him buried and dead. Romans 6 talks about that the entire chapter. Read it, the baptism chapter. I mean, when you're baptized, you're burying the old man. And then what comes up out of that watery grave is a new life. How is it new? Because it's Christ in you through the power of God's Spirit. This is the truth of the Bible. And then you go forward and you live anew. Verse 21, this is still in Romans 7. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He had to continually fight against that downward pull of human nature, influenced by Satan, Satan's nature. In fact, Paul recognized that the law of sin was something he had to actively fight against or overcome or come out of or conquer. Verse 24, Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I mean, you look at religious people today, who speaks like this? This is an apostle of God saying, I'm a wretched man. I'm a wretched sinner. How am I going to be rescued? How am I going to be saved from all of this wretchedness, this evil, this filth that's so easy to get into? He says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It's through Christ, you see, that we're delivered. And it's by the Spirit of God. Romans 8 and verse 14 shows us how we approach the fight. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we have to be led by God's Spirit. We have to be empowered by the Spirit of God. We have to look to God to show us the way. And then we have to have the faith to go forward, like Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2 bring out. Set aside those sinful weights and go forward with Christ. Run in this spiritual race. That third step in the definition of godly character, here in the incredible human potential, it's doing the right. Even when you're fighting against the temptation to do the wrong, go ahead and do the right. Notice what it says over in James 1. This is James 1, verse 21. I'll read from the New Living Translation. It says, so get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. Get rid of the evil. Accept God's inspired word. It says, for it has the power to save your souls. When you're coming into God's church or family, you've got to get rid of the filth. That's the truth of the Bible. You can't just show up and then have a preacher say, hey, just come as you are. Everything's good. It's all done. You're saved. And that saving is, I mean, it's forever. No, God says, come into the church and then clean up your life, your mind. Be healthy physically, mentally, spiritually. Learn to live the way of God. Notice what verse 22 says. It says, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I mean, that's a huge, huge statement. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. And notice what it says. If you hear, but you don't do, then you're deceiving yourself. Revelation 12:9 says that the whole world is deceived. And you can begin to understand why. Because a lot of people, even when they turn on a program where the truth is presented, they are not willing to surrender and do. They might like the sound of the truth, but there's more to it than that, much more. Doers of the word, godly character, as is defined in the incredible human potential, godly character is doing what is right. It's not just agreeing with it. You've got to take what you receive on this program and use it. Put it into practice. Otherwise, you're just deceiving yourself. Notice verse 23, back to the New Living Translation. It says, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, verse 24, you walk away and you forget what you look like. That's what happens when we hear and even agree, but we don't do. We've got to be stirred and excited and prepared to take action. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, he said, if you just see the law and you read it and you don't do anything about it, he says, you'll never get into God's kingdom. I mean, that's not what the preachers of today are teaching. A lot of them, as I said on a program recently, say that, you know, as long as you just receive Christ in your heart, even if you're on your deathbed, Even if you've led a life where you had nothing to do with the truth of the Bible, you rejected it your whole life. But many believe that if you just accept Jesus, even at the very last second, you're saved. And everyone else who doesn't do that is condemned. Verse 25, it says, "But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." I mean, you see, basically, the formula for building godly character in this passage in James 1. My father writes in his booklet, The Epistles of James, the expression "looks into" denotes penetrating, examining, or looking into the very essence of the law. It teaches you how to make every aspect of your life work, child-rearing, marriage, service in the church, and so on. It truly is a perfect law of liberty. Look into that law. We've got to be able to discern what's the difference between right and wrong. What's the difference between the holy and the profane? And then submit to, or surrender to, or be conquered by God. And then be willing, as I say, to go ahead and do the right, even against all the pulls of the flesh, and even against all the attacks coming from Satan the devil, our adversary. That definition of godly character, as I say, you find it here in the incredible human potential. What is your potential? What is your future? Why are you here? These questions and more are answered in this wonderful book. That's all we have time for, unfortunately, on today's show. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request our free book, The Incredible Human Potential. Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.